This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بالله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبي نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To my brothers and sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His blessings, may His mercy, may His safety be upon you all. Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. We have to introduce our lessons in the same way and by making this dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our deeds, especially during this month. And we cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. We thank Allah for blessing us to worship Him during yet another night from the nights of Ramadan, for preserving us in His obedience, for preserving us with good health and with strength, subhanallah, to manage the fasting and the night program. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Yesterday, in Surah Yusuf, we stopped at a new point in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, and that is when he became established in Egypt by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we deduce from this how indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed in control of everything, all the time, every time. And yes, we do have a choice, and when things go as we choose for them to go, then it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed things to be as we planned them to be. Ultimately, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. All our plans and all our all the means that we take ultimately are all under the control and under the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything that happened to Yusuf alayhi salam was indeed the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also deduce from the subhanallah how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is ever close and ever near. But subhanallah, when we're drowning in the test, we fail to recognize the eases that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us and providing for us. Yusuf alayhi salam could have been captured by a people and killed. He could have been bought by a family far worse off than this family that has purchased him. And he could have been bought by a master who had a whole different vision for him. But subhanallah, Allah's mercy is close to Yusuf alayhi salam, and the person who is inspired to buy him is the minister of Egypt. And he does so with the intention, meaning part and parcel of his intention is perhaps adopting this child, making this child a child for them in their home, which denotes that they do not have any children. So this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The situation could have been far worse, and we spoke about how Allah's mercy is ever close when we also spoke about how Allah inspired one of the brothers to swerve the group away from killing Yusuf alayhi salam, but rather throwing him down a well. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fast forwards the story for us here in Surah Yusuf by telling us that now Yusuf has reached the age of 40, as the scholars of tafsir say when they explain this particular verse, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا, that Yusuf alayhi salam was given knowledge and given the ability to practice upon this knowledge. And the scholars of tafsir highlight that this entails nubuwa, prophethood. When you have nubuwa and prophethood, you have knowledge and the ability to practice this knowledge. And no doubt, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, from the completeness of knowledge, as we said yesterday, is developing for ourselves what we call the tunes of faith. Knowledge and action. Knowledge and action. Meaning knowledge that is connected to action and action that is connected to knowledge. Right? That we are the ummah right in the middle. We have sound knowledge and we implement that knowledge, and this is ultimately the best of the best scenarios. And this is really the representation of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave them knowledge and gave them the ability to practice it. So whoever gets knowledge and practices on their knowledge, then they are resembling the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Whoever has knowledge and doesn't practice on their knowledge, then they are resembling the people who received Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. Whoever does action and doesn't have knowledge, then they are resembling those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed as having gone astray. Subhanallah. And we need to decide which group do we want to be from? And which group do we want to be in? No doubt, the group that has in it the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And that is why in Surah Al-Fatiha we say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. The straight path here is the path of the Quran, is the path of Islam, it's the path of Iman, it's the path of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because all of these matters denote one idea, and that is the idea of knowledge and action being married together. No knowledge except that there's action, no action except that there's knowledge. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in another verse in the Quran teaches us, when we say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the صراط المستقيم, this straight path is the path of those who received Allah's favor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about those who received Allah's favor, right? مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another portion of the Quran, who are those that received Allah's favor? Allah says نبيين, the prophets of Allah. And included in the prophets are the messengers. والصديقين, those who were the truthful ones, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, those who believed the ways of the messengers and prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them. Hook, line and sinker, meaning they took on their message wholesale and wholesomely. They did not pick and choose. والشهداء, those who fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and were martyred. والصالحين, and the righteous. The صالحين, those who depict and resemble the way of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. They marry between knowledge and action. Alhamdulillah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to the point where Yusuf alayhi salam, as the scholars say, became a prophet. Now, do the tests end? No, the tests continue. Subhanallah. Let's recap. Yusuf alayhi salam is tested by being abducted. Tested by being abducted by his brothers. Tested by being thrown into the well. Tested by being thrown into the well by his brothers. These are more than one test. Being thrown into a well is a test. But being thrown into a well by your own brothers is a test within a test. I'm not repeating for the sake of repeating here. There's intent. I'm trying to highlight to you all, subhanAllah. Let's count the tests. Then, being abducted for a second time by these strangers is a test. Then being assumed as a slave is a test. Then being transported to another land, so you become an alien in that land, that is a test. Yani ma indahu iqama. Yani as they say, do you have a residence permit? No residence permit, no passport, no nationality. You're an alien here. And you very well could be illegal. Yani you have so many levels and tiers of weaknesses that apply to you. Okay, this is a test. Then being thrown into the slave market, another test. Then being bought as a slave, another test. And then the tests continue. How so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and this is from the beauty of the Quran. Again, and we spoke about how the Quranic stories are the best of all stories because they leave information that is access to requirement. That through you interacting with the Quran, you will piece the pieces together. You will fill the gaps that seemingly are missing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا, that the woman whose house he was in. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this to us. To teach us again another level of weakness, that he was a slave in this home with no rights, with no power, and she was in charge and she had the power. So Allah's highlighting to us. Allah could have said she called him to her. Now Allah says she plotted, she planned to capture Yusuf alayhi salam in a predicament that met her desires. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in what way, that she in whose house he was, that he was in her house. So he's in another weak situation here. What did she do? She intended Yusuf alayhi salam. She intended adultery. She intended zina with Yusuf alayhi salam. And for those who interact with the Quran, part and parcel of interaction is knowing about our circumstances and situations in the life that we live. And for things to get to this stage, what does it mean? It means that Yusuf alayhi salam is in her home, he's living in her home, he's waking up in her home, he's eating in her home, he is so handsome, he is so beautiful. We said his handsomeness is described as beautiful. He has half of all beauty, his character is beautiful, his speech is beautiful, his looks are beautiful, his manifestations are beautiful. Everything about him, subhanAllah, melts the heart of a woman. And she has to watch him day in and day out, growing up. And then he gets to this peak, the peak of his manliness and his manhood. And she slips. It's too much for her. What does she do? She executes a plan. And again, we know that a plan doesn't just happen all of a sudden. And I explained this to the brothers and sisters in Brisbane, that it starts with Shaytan planting a fleeting thought. And then you giving that fleeting thought airtime. When you give that fleeting thought airtime, it becomes a consolidated thought. Some more a fleeting thought. Then you give the consolidated thought airtime, it becomes an idea. Some more a consolidated thought. It's become now an idea. Then you give the idea airtime, it becomes a plan or a plot, depending on what the idea is. From an idea, it turns into something tangible now because you're giving it airtime. Then you give the plot and the plan airtime, it turns into execution. It turns into a manifestation. What you plotted and planned starts happening. Subhanallah, you act out the plan. And then if you repeat acting out the plan, it becomes a habit. Subhanallah. From a fleeting thought that Shaytan planted in your mind to a habit, there's a long process. There's a process. Subhanallah. There's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. You don't just slip overnight. Shaytan sets a series of things in motion. But to you, they constitute a series of fleeting realities. But it's you who brings it together by giving the unnecessary airtime when you have too much free time. People who have too much free time, they have time to plan sin and plot sin and enact sin and so on and so forth. Because they give useless things airtime. They justify the lives that they live by giving airtime to useless things that takes them down a pit. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطْوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. The fleeting thought is a footstep. Do not follow it. The moment you latch yourself onto it, it's going to pull you into a direction. It has momentum. Like we said, fleeting to consolidated, to an idea, to a plan, to an action, to a habit. Subhanallah. So before she got him into the room and she planned which room and the doors, how they will be, and will the keys be on the door and the shutters will be working and they will be ready to be shut and the curtains are all ready to be. No doubt she was plotting and planning. This was something was working on her mind from long before. And now came the time to execute. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he was in the weakest of circumstances and situations. And to the extent that you feel, if he answered her call, you'd say he's excused. You'd say he's miskeen. What can he do? You'd say, subhanallah, he's the slave. This is what she did. But Yusuf alayhi salam shows us how to be, subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very descriptive in this verse. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. That she in whose house he was, she in whose house he was, what did she do? She enticed him towards her. Now you got to remember, we're not just talking about Yusuf alayhi salam in all these weak circumstances and situations. We're talking about Yusuf alayhi salam as a man at his complete stage of manhood. Does a man not have desires? Of course a man has desires. He's a man. Is he married? No, he's not married. Is it part of his nature to desire a female? It's part of his nature to desire a female. Is it not part of a man's nature to desire a female? It is. This is the natural situation. When a person is upon their fitrah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. Right? So he even has this going on for him. And now you have what we call yani, a test that is oven ready. A test of Allah upon you. And it's oven ready. What do we mean oven ready? It's ready to be served. She is, you know, normally it's the male who is trying to reel in the female. Because the way the male is wired and designed is different to the female. The male is enticed through looks, through the voice, through the scent and the smell, and so on and so forth. And that's why the Sharia closes the doors, asks the female to cover her beauty, to not leave her home with perfume that can be smelt by other people, and so on and so forth, because that's the male. The female, it's not the same. For the female to be enticed, it takes much more, because she's more emotional by design. You can say more substantial by design. But here you have the opposite. And she, her emotions have been channeled, have been nurtured by her own doing, by her lack of morality, her lack of character, her lack of akhlaq. And again, this is another test for Yusuf. We spoke about how he grew up in a home of idols, meaning they were idolaters, but also how he grew up in a home of no moral values. If she had a working marriage with her husband, would the situation be as it is? I mean, one would think not in normal circumstances. If she had a sense of morality, would Yusuf alayhi salam be in the circumstance and situation where you plot and plan something haram like this? No. So this tells you the mindset and the heart set and the soul set of the people that Yusuf alayhi salam had to grow up with. And he went through his teens, through his 20s, through his 30s, subhanAllah, guided. Again, going back to the earliest lessons we took, how powerful are the lessons of a father and mother in the home? And how long lasting can they be when they're taught in an impactful way? When we teach our children about Allah, we should teach them about Allah in an impactful way. Not in a way like how we teach math, and how we teach science, and how we teach geography, how we teach chemistry. We just teach it as a body of information, not a body of knowledge. There's a difference between information and knowledge. When you process information, it becomes knowledge. When you analyze information, it becomes knowledge. Who's into IT over here? Programming, IT. Khair, mashallah. So you have a circumstance and situation here where you have parents teaching their children sometimes, but they don't teach it to them in an impactful way. And here we see the results of the prophetic way of parenting. When you teach in an impactful way, it lingers, subhanallah. It lasts, subhanallah. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt, there were also parents making dua for their child. And it's tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salam is in this situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. After she called him in, not only did she close the doors, she locked the doors. And you can imagine, if someone's locked the doors, then the windows are also locked. You can't see through them. There's shutters perhaps that are down. Meaning she created a secure environment to fall to her desires, to get it over and done with. She was intoxicated by the circumstance, by the situation. She fell for it, hook, line and sinker, as they say. We've repeated this. This is the second time I'm saying this. This is an English colloquial term. Meaning she is hooked onto the idea, and she is sinking with the idea, and she is going with it. There's nothing that's going to pull her out of it. And she goes to this grown man who has natural desires, who is of age, and she says, hey, Talak, come to me. She calls him to her when no one can see. No one can see them. No one can see them. Subhanallah. And throughout the story, you don't hear the voice of Yusuf alayhi salam. From the time he spoke to his father and told his father of the dream when he was a young boy till the age of 40, now we don't hear anything. Allah doesn't tell us anything about Yusuf alayhi salam. But suddenly his voice appears. He says, Ma'ad Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. La ilaha illallah. Where did Yusuf alayhi salam learn about Allah from? From the minister? From the minister's wife? From the people in the slave market? From the caravan who stole him from the well? From the brothers who abducted him when they abducted him? Maybe before, but after? From who? What do we have in terms of our timeline? His father. Ma'ad, I seek refuge in Allah. Why is he seeking refuge in Allah? What did his father teach him before he was stolen from his home? Inna rabbaka alimun hakim. Indeed, your Lord is your protector, is your nurturer to perfection, is your sustainer. the one who gave you life, the one who gives you death. And your Lord is Alim, He's omniscient, He's all-knowing. He knows where you are, even though when no one knows where you are. Ya Yusuf, when you're in the bottom of the well and you think no one knows where you are, Allah knows. We spoke about this. When you're in the caravan and you think nobody knows where you are, Allah knows. When you're in the slave market and you think nobody knows where you are, Allah knows. And when you're in the room with the woman and everything is locked, doors and windows, and you think nobody knows where you are and nobody can see you, Allah knows. Ma'ad Allah, He sought refuge in Allah. And Allah's watching me, Allah knows where I am. Allah knows where I am, and Allah is wise as to why I'm here. This is a test. This is a test. And then He says, "Innahu." He says, "Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwai." He says, "Indeed, He is my Rabb, who was good to me, made my stay comfortable." Now, the scholars of Tafsir say, "Rabb here." Could mean one of two things. Could mean either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Rabb is from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the Lord. But Rabb in the Arabic language also refers to the master. And remember, a few verses ago, earlier on when he was a young boy, and the minister brought him home, what did he say to his wife? Ahsini mathwa. Make his stay comfortable. So he is remembering this good deed, and he's saying to her, "Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwai," that He is my master who made my stay comfortable. And subhanallah, we learn two things upon the two views of the scholars of tafsir here. Because if we say Rabb means Allah, then he's saying, indeed Allah is my Lord and Allah was good to me. Allah has been good to me. My situation could be worse. I can't do this to Allah. Allah gave me a father who's a prophet, a grandfather who's a prophet. Allah taught me how to interpret dreams, how to interpret events. Allah made me a prophet. Allah has been good to me. Allah saved me from idolatry. Allah saved me from misguidance. So this is one tafsir. The other tafsir is, indeed, the minister of Egypt who bought me, the master of this palace, he is my master. And he has made my stay comfortable. So what does this teach you? That Yusuf was beautiful in his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the tafsir that Rabb here means Allah. And it also teaches you how beautiful Yusuf was in his character. He's saying, how can I do this when you are his wife and he's been so good to me? How can I do that to him? This is not just an act between me and you. It's going to hurt him. How can I hurt him when he's been so good to me? This tells you, subhanAllah, how beautiful his character was. And this is the beauty of the Quran. As you go through the tafsir and you understand the different views regarding different verses, you see, subhanAllah, you can still extrapolate benefits that, subhanAllah, complement the story and the lessons of the story even further. So Yusuf, we said this, Yusuf was beautiful not just in his looks, he was beautiful in his iman, he was beautiful in his Islam, he was beautiful in his akhlaq and his character, not just his khuluq and his appearance. Subhanallah, this is what Yusuf says. Then he says, "Innahu la yuflihu adh-dhalimun." He goes, indeed, Allah, or indeed the one who is an oppressor will never ever succeed. Indeed, the one who is an oppressor never ever will succeed. So according to the tafsir here, well, both tafsirs apply to this verse. Because if you sin, you oppress. Who do you oppress? Who do you oppress when you sin? Yourself. You oppress yourself. And if Rabb here, if we go with the tafsir that Rabb meant here, his master, the one who bought him from the slave market, then who would he be oppressing? Come on, mashayikh, yani. You guys are like mashayikh here, brothers. Do I need to speak a different language? Are you with me? I'm speaking to everyone. Why are you looking at him? MashaAllah, everybody looks at each other. Are you following the chain of thought here? If we say Rabb here means the minister of Egypt who bought him, when Yusuf says, indeed, the one who oppresses will never ever succeed, who would he be oppressing if he answered the call of this woman? The minister. He would be oppressing the minister. So Yusuf alayhi salam, upon both tafsirs, is teaching us an important lesson here. He's teaching us that the one who oppresses himself will never ever succeed. And the one who oppresses other people will never ever succeed. فَالظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oppression is not just the darkness, but as the Prophet ﷺ said, it is darknesses on the day of Qiyamah. الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. سبحان الله. We shouldn't oppress ourselves by sinning. We'll never ever succeed. And that is why, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, whenever you sin, you see the effects of that sin. Your memory becomes weaker. What you remember, you forget. Subhanallah. And you also see the sin in your day. The pious before us used to say, we never ever sinned, subhanallah, meaning we never ever oppressed ourselves, except that we felt that oppression in our riding animal and in our wives, meaning in our families, in our spouses. And someday, subhanallah, we felt, la ilaha illallah, today my relationship with my wife was difficult. We argued a lot. Whenever I saw her, I felt something that, subhanallah, I can't explain. I didn't feel something beautiful. My riding animal, it was stubborn, subhanallah. They would say this, that they would find that, subhanallah, their horse is being stubborn, their camel is being stubborn. They would think, subhanallah, what did I do in terms of my deeds? What did I do? They found that they had difficult days in their relationship with their wives. What did I do? With their children, what did I do? Why are my children being disrespectful? Why is my wife being disrespectful? They start with themselves, because they know that the one who oppresses will never ever succeed. So why am I not succeeding with my riding animal? Why am I not succeeding with my spouse? Why am I not succeeding with my children? Why am I not succeeding with my boss? Why am I not succeeding with my exams? Why am I not exceeding with my studies? Start with yourself. Charity begins at home. You got to start from within, from the core, from you, from your heart, and what you have been doing in terms of your deeds. And then you need to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see, subhanallah, things improve and things become better. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who controls the hearts. The hearts change immediately, subhanallah. The difficult animal becomes easy. The difficult spouse becomes easy. The difficult teacher or principal or boss becomes easy. Life changes, it becomes easier. People are willing to give you the benefit of the doubt when only moments ago they weren't willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. It's Allah who controls the hearts. You got to ask yourself, am I oppressing myself and am I oppressing others? Yusuf alayhi salam teaches us a timeless and a timely lesson. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. She desired him. No doubt we know this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. There's two tafsirs related to this verse, depending on how you read this verse. But I've read it to you upon the way that is suitable for our session and our lessons, because we're not going through a tafsir of Surah Yusuf, but rather what we're doing, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rather what we're doing is we're extrapolating lessons for the 21st century from Surah Yusuf. This is a tadabbur session. So we will stick to the tafsir that I'm choosing for our series. And as such, I've read the ayah in this way. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ, with a pause, then وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. Meaning, she desired him, and he would have desired her had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not revealed to him the burhan, the evidence. And this is fine. Why would he have desired her? Because he is a what? He's an angel? He's a man. He's a human being. The prophets were human beings. Some people say, you know what, subhanallah, we learn these lessons and we learn about Yusuf alayhi salam, and we learn and we learn and we learn. But you know what, subhanallah, Yusuf was a prophet of Allah. He was the son of a prophet. Before he was a prophet, he was the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet. Who am I? These lessons are for special people. You know, this life, no, my dear brother and sister in Islam, Allah is revealing, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. Don't be from those فَأَبَىٰ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا, as we read in the Taraweeh today. Subhanallah, Surah Al-Isra. Don't be like them. Allah is revealing to you these examples, these stories, these lessons, because it matters, because in it there's guidance for you. In it there are inspirations for you. Because these people are relatable, they were human beings like you. But they chose a way, and you can also choose a way. They chose a way and they can choose a way. If you choose to be sincere, then Allah will choose you and you will be from the chosen ones, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verses thereafter. Subhanallah, innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin. And in a qira'ah, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلِصِينَ. There's two qira'at, there's two recitations of this verse. In Hafs and Asim, the recitation that we recite, مُخْلَصِينَ, that indeed Yusuf was from the chosen ones. In another qira'ah, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلِصِينَ, he was from the sincere ones. Which teaches us what? If you're sincere, Allah will choose you. If you're sincere, Allah will make you from the chosen ones. And when you are from the chosen ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the burhan. He'll give you the guidance that you need to remain guided amidst the test of life. Amidst the test of life. Especially when you live as a Muslim minority and you live in a place where people, they don't dress in the best of ways. And you're a man, subhanallah. And sometimes, subhanallah, the dressing is so bad, even if you look down, it's a fitna. Allahul musta'an. Because even, subhanallah, you understand what I'm saying, the men who are here. It's not about the fitna of looking above, even the fitna of looking down. Where do you look? It's like one brother was telling me the other day, subhanallah. He was saying, ya Shaykh, what do I do? I stopped at the traffic light and there was a lady cyclist in front of me. And she was wearing shorts that were so short, You could mistake these shorts for underwear, subhanAllah. He really made me laugh, Allah bless him. And he's in the audience, but khair, inshallah. And then he says, Shaykh, I closed my eyes, but then the traffic light went green. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And they were sounding the horns at the back. I had to drive, so I opened my eyes. What do I do, Shaykh? Where do I look? Allahul musta'an. Allahul musta'an. So this is the environments that sometimes we live in. It's a problem. But what keeps you above the problem? If you're sincere with Allah, Allah will choose you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses you, He guides your heart. He keeps you strong. He keeps you strong. That your nafs is weak. The nafs is weak. The nafs is weak and the desires are around you. The desires are within you and the means for the desires are around you. But what keeps you strong? And what saves you from slipping? It's your knowledge of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, we spoke about this on more than one occasion. What is the biggest problem the ummah has today when they fall into sin? Ignorance. The ignorant of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And what is the antidote? Learn who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The more you learn about Allah, proportionately you will be empowered against falling into sin. The less you know about Allah, proportionately you will slip into sin. That's how it is. And we're learning this from Surah Yusuf here. Allah says, we showered upon Yusuf the Burhan. Why? Because he was chosen. Why was he chosen? From another qira we learned because he was sincere. He lived his life for the sake of Allah. His breathing was for the sake of Allah. His walking was for the sake of Allah. His talking was for the sake of Allah. When he remained silent, it was for the sake of Allah. When he remained stationary, it was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything about him was lillah. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if he was a waqf, he was an endowment. No one had ownership of him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything he did was for the sake of Allah. Which means he pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you can't do something for the sake of Allah which is haram. Let's be honest. And can you say, I'm doing this haram for the sake of Allah? I'm going to drink alcohol for the sake of Allah? Nobody in their right mind can do this. You can't. It can never be for the sake of Allah. Because Allah made it haram. Not so? So, this is what the Quran is teaching us, that when you train yourself to live your life for the sake of Allah, Allah chooses you. And when Allah chooses you, He showers upon you the burhan. This burhan, this evidence comes in different shapes, in different forms. But no doubt, for the believer, it's light that Allah places in the heart. That the heart just can't go ahead with it. Because remember, ultimately the heart is the king of the body. أَلَا إِنَّ لِلْجَسَدِ مُدْغَى. Indeed, there's nothing about your body except a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. That if it's correct, the entire body will be correct. If it's correct, صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. The entire body will be correct. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. And if it's corrupt, the entire body will be corrupt. Your hands will be corrupt, your eyes will be corrupt, your tongue will be corrupt. You'll swear, you'll love to see things that are haram, you'll love to touch things that are haram, you'll steal, no religiosity, you have nothing. Because you don't have the heart. But when the heart is strong and the heart is alive and the heart is protected, the qalb is salim, illa man ata Allah bi qalbin salim, as Allah tells us in the Quran, that the safety on the day of Qiyamah is for the one who comes to Allah with a clean, pure heart. When the heart is clean, when the heart has Allah in it, then the eyes only want to see that which pleases Allah. The ears only want to listen to that which pleases Allah. The tongue only wants to speak that which is pleasing Allah. You cannot speak in a vulgar way. Subhanallah, the swearing and vulgarity that we see with our youth today, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Wallahi, it makes the heart pain. It makes the heart pain. That we see this in our youth. Every second word is a swear word. And they treat it as if it's part of language, subhanallah. But it can't be something so normal. Except if there's an issue with the iman of our children. Cannot be. And subhanallah, sometimes we see the adults justifying it. Once I was mentioning this in a gathering of adults, and they said, no, Shaykh, they don't mean it. They just say it, but they don't mean it. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That we have the adults justifying their children speaking like this. What world do we live in? Sometimes you feel, la ilaha illallah, stop the world, let me get off. As if the world is a bus and you need to get off the bus. Khalas. Yani iktafait. Khalas. What madness sometimes do we live in? Allah al-musta'an. Wa alayhi tuklan. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You cannot speak a speech that is not from the sunnah. And have iman at a level that is noteworthy. Like I said, depending on your level of iman, proportionately you will see the character of a human being. A few can swear these words, these bad words. Let's not mention even the letters, because we're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you say it without any regret, without a twitch being felt in your heart, then wallahi, there has to be something wrong with your iman. And this is my worry. This is my worry, that what is the level of the iman of our youth? Because their speech shows that there's a problem with the levels of iman. Allahul Musta'an. Obviously, people are drowning in the sign of the times. Football pundits, they speak like this, with this language. Subhanallah. We see people on TV, and then there's some sports entities that thrive on immorality, on naked women and vulgar speech, obscene words, and so on and so forth. And our youth are into it. They're into it. But that's a topic for another day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah gave Yusuf the Burhan. The scholars of tafsir mentioned different ideas of what this Burhan is. But wallahu a'lam, seemingly and most plausibly, it's a light that Allah placed in the heart of Yusuf alayhi salam. That light that he places in the heart, nurun yaqdifuhu Allahu fi qalbi al-mu'min. Then the light that Allah places in the heart of a believer that keeps them strong. That even though the opportunity is right in front of me, the alcohol is in front of me, nobody has control over me, my parents are not watching me, but you say no, for the sake of Allah. That's from iman. That's from iman. That is from the light of iman. And she's calling him to her with every opportunity, helping him fall into that test and that trial. But he says, ma'ad Allah. That's from iman. My heart is not allowing my foot to come forward to you. You see, the heart controls the limbs. The heart is not allowing my hand to touch you. The heart is not allowing my mind to contemplate this, what you're calling me to. For two reasons, if we take both tafsirs. Because Allah is my Lord, and Allah has been good to me. And because your husband is my master, and he was good to me too. I'd be oppressing myself, and we'd be oppressing him. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Indeed, those who oppress, they will never ever succeed. My heart is one that's guiding me towards success and succeeding. How can I take the path of failure? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to tell us, subhanallah, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى. This is how we turn away. This is how we turn away the evil, the immorality, the sin, the pitfalls. This is how we turn haram away from who? From whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. And Allah chose Yusuf. Allah says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادٍ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Indeed, Yusuf alayhi salam was from the chosen ones. We'll stop here inshallah for today. Ponder over these thoughts. Because a lot of the lessons taken today apply to us squarely. And we in the month of Ramadan, when the shayateen are chained. So Allah gives us a chance to breathe. Because we're not constantly being attacked by shaytan. Gives us a chance to breathe so we can contemplate. So we can think, subhanallah. We can think. Ya Abdullah, ayna tadhhab? Yaqulullah, fa ayna tadhhabun? Where am I going with my life? What have I been doing before Ramadan? Am I going to be doing the same thing after Ramadan as I've been doing before Ramadan? Why have I been created? What is the purpose of my creation? Why do I exist? Can life just be about eating and drinking and having fun and sleeping and then die? And then what? Yani, we believe in life after death, but why do we behave like those who used to say, "Inna lamab'uthuna khalqan jadida"? We read it in the Tarawih. Are we going to be resurrected as a new creation after we turn to bones? We know we will be resurrected. We believe that we will be resurrected. That's why we're here. We're Muslims. But why do we behave like we don't know? This is the month that is the game changer. Somebody mentioned there's a game changer earlier when we were... Someone here was saying this is the game changer, huh? With the chocolates he was distributing. He said this chocolate's the game changer. Bal, Ramadan is the game changer. Ramadan is the game changer. And if our game doesn't change when Ramadan passes, then Allahul Musta'an. Because remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibril came down and made a dua about the one who witnesses Ramadan and Ramadan leaves him or her without them being forgiven. And Jibril said, may they be distant from Allah, meaning may they be cursed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. The mercy to the world said, Ameen to this dua. Subhanallah. Why would the mercy to the world say, Ameen to this dua? This dua is destructive. Because the mercy to the world is teaching us that Ramadan is the month, subhanallah, that you will be forgiven. The only one who won't be forgiven is the one who says, I don't want to be forgiven. Ramadan is the month of change. The only one who will not change is the one who puts his hand up and says, Ya Allah, I don't want to change. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Ameen. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuhu.